Hi, I'm Janelle Simmons, CEO of Landlords New York, and I am so excited to welcome you to our podcast, which is intended to be an extension of our website so that we can bring you need-to-know real estate information on the go, because it's New York City and we're all in a hurry to be somewhere. A little bit about Landlords New York. We are an organization that allows our members, all of whom are vetted landlords and property managers, to learn from industry experts and to confidentially share their expertise with each other. We have developed the only private peer-to-peer social network, which is exclusively for landlords, that connects our members with the technology to share advice, referrals, and of course their personal experience. We promote landlord education on our site first and foremost, while offering members the ability to communicate and network with fellow owners and managers, both online as well as at our live events that we host monthly. We launched Landlords New York back in 2012 by a collaboration of New York landlords and property managers who frankly felt overwhelmed by the amount of knowledge and expertise that was necessary just simply to keep up with day-to-day operations and seemingly ever-changing legislation. Short of having a huge circle of family or friends in the industry, there is really not a source to go to for a quick answer to a simple question. You could spend hours and hours searching through the 311 or the HPD or DHCR websites or paying experts a lot of money for a quick answer to a simple question. And it just seemed silly, like there needed to be a better way. And it was from that frustration that really became the inspiration behind what is now Landlords New York. Since its inception, we have grown from a tight-knit group of landlords and property managers to a sprawling organization of now more than 5,500 members who have access to experts from fields as diverse as law, finance, architecture, technology, and energy. We found that the more that we grow, the more our community of members can work together to tackle even the thorniest of questions. And it's precisely those questions and that need-to-know real estate information that we're going to discuss on this series. Anyone who owns or manages property in New York, or any vendors who provide services or resources to landlords or property managers, will enjoy our episodes. So please subscribe and follow us. You'll be able to find all of the relevant links needed in the episode notes. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Landlords New York podcast. Today's show, we're going to be talking about opportunity zones. You may have heard this buzzword recently or read about it in the newspaper. It's a very, very hot topic right now, and an even hotter opportunity, pun intended, to take advantage of the once-in-a-lifetime chance to reduce capital gains taxes. About 300 census tracts in New York City have been designated as opportunity zones, and it's really just a great way to build up and infuse resources, assets into areas that have previously been underserved and underdeveloped. So very much excited to learn more. My guest today is Christopher Wang of Two Kings Real Estate. You can find all of his bio and contact information in the episode notes. Chris is going to share his knowledge, research, and expertise about opportunity zones and how you can take advantage, again, of this opportunity to save money on your capital gains taxes. That said, I'm going to turn things over to Chris. Chris, thanks for being here.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Janelle. My name is Chris Wang. I'm a principal of Two Kings Real Estate Company. We are a real estate investment company based here in New York City. We focus on a variety of investments, long-term holdings, value-add holdings, and some development. As far as my background, I've been in real estate full-time for about 12 years now, and I've had a garden variety of experience. I've managed more than 1,000 apartments, about 2,000 hotel rooms, and then we formed Two Kings a few years ago to focus almost exclusively on New York City and everything that New York City real estate has to offer.
Well, again, thank you for being here and also an excellent Landlords New York member. So we certainly appreciate that. Opportunity zones is, we're hearing about it, all of the great tax benefits and the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. First, before we get into this sort of hairy topic, what interested you, or how did you get into learning about opportunity zones and putting all of this information together to share with all of us?
So we had been following the topic, and I will say I think we were unique in that we were aware of its existence from the early stages of the program. I would say a lot of the fervor around the program didn't come until later part of 2018, when a few of the media started to pick up on just how incredible this program is. By happenstance, we have a project in an that's located in an opportunity zone, and we started exploring, well, what does that mean for our project? And how does this program work? And how do we structure a potential partnership around this thing? And it just spiraled into a ton of research, a lot of education, a lot of speaking to professionals, and who even at that time were really not aware of all the nuances and details of the program, and it just cascaded from there. We became more and more knowledgeable on it and started from our corner of the very large New York City real estate world, became a voice, kind of use that as a platform to simultaneously learn from the professionals that were actively researching this, and in turn using it to educate others so that they understand just how amazing or wide ranging this benefit is.
Absolutely. And here today we had a room full of real estate professionals, very successful in their own right, successful property owners, landlords, some tax professionals, attorneys, and there's still a lot of questions and a lot of what if and situational types of questions. Do you mind to just dive right in? Let's identify what an opportunity zone is, some of the incentives, the program. I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
Sure. Let's start from the top and where the opportunity zone program originated from. It evolved out of the idea was conceived by a think tank in Silicon Valley. It was driven by a group of tech investors who were trying to address this problem of redistribution of capital, right? They're estimating that there's about $6 trillion of capital gains, right? Capital gains being when you buy an asset and then you later sell it for a higher price, the amount of profit that you make is that capital gain.
And we're just looking at the gain.
Just thinking about the gain portion, right? And the problem with that is, well, when you have capital, when you incur capital gains, you pay tax on it, right? They felt the challenge of the world is you have all this money locked up in capital gains, that's locked up in stocks, in real estate, in company holdings, company interests, but these holders won't sell and use the capital for something else because of taxes, because of the tax burden. So they started thinking, how do we structure a program that would incentivize these asset holders to sell, to incur capital gains, and then use those proceeds to invest in underserved or places that are in need of development or are low-income areas that in need of revitalization. And so this ultimately, after this evolved over a couple several years, and ultimately you ended up with the program that was passed as part of the tax reform in 2017. Okay. A quick summary of the program is, when you incur a capital gain and then use those proceeds to invest in an opportunity zone investment, three things happen. Okay. The capital gains tax that you would have normally paid on the asset that you just sold. For example, you were holding some stock that appreciated dramatically and you sold it, and you otherwise normally would have to pay tax on that capital gain. In this case, you don't pay that capital gain tax immediately. It is deferred into the future. Okay. Then in the future, and this is a little bit dependent on how long you hold the investment in an opportunity zone project, that capital gain tax that you would pay gets reduced. Okay. The third benefit is when you take those proceeds, you have taken these proceeds and invested them in a qualified opportunity zone project. Well, if you hold that project for at least 10 years, and then after 10 years, then sell the investment, the new investment in an opportunity zone, that the profit from that investment is not subject to capital gains tax. So at the end of the day, it boils down to two major benefits. You get a deferral and reduction of your original capital gains, the original capital gains tax from your original asset. And if you hold it, the new opportunity zone investment for 10 years, you get a tax-free investment in that new project. So whatever amount you sell it for in the future, no matter how large the gain is, it is not subject to capital gains tax, which is a massive incentive to these investors or to these asset holders to incur those capital gains and redeploy the money in these opportunity zones.
And you've prepared an excellent presentation that we can attach for someone to look through here as well and understand. So, pardon the pun, but it seems like there may be two opportunities when you're looking at an individual who has a capital gain that's looking to invest in an opportunity zone and someone who may have a business or a property located within an opportunity zone. How would you advise that those individuals go about identifying, is my business located within the zone? I know you've listed some resources here. What are kind of some first steps that you might recommend for someone considering either investing or has a business located within an opportunity zone to get started?
So my very first suggestion is do your homework, okay? I mentioned this earlier. The concept of the program is pretty simple, and I think most people understand it. Where they get lost in the details of exactly how it works, and unfortunately, it is a complicated and cumbersome program with a lot of nuances in it, and you really need to understand how those work before you can understand what is the real opportunity and how can I make it work. As far as the stakeholders for opportunity zones, you mentioned one being the folks wanting to invest, the other being the folks wanting the folks who already own properties in opportunity zones. We'll start with the folks who own properties in opportunity zones. Unfortunately, the program only works for assets that are purchased or money that's in capital that's invested beginning January 1, 2018. Okay, so if you own an existing property, you owned it prior to 2018. Unfortunately, that owner cannot take advantage of the benefits. Okay, it is only when someone comes in and buys that property after 2018 or makes a substantial investment into a property after 2018 that these benefits start to incur. Okay, now, are there methods for an existing property owner to do a transaction and somehow reap some of the benefits? You know, one of the big issues with the opportunity zone law is that there's still a lot of clarification going on, and there are some rules about related party transactions. But that said, if you can get past those, there may be means for a property owner to sell a property and then be able to take advantage of the benefits. It is complicated. Obviously, make sure to consult an attorney, consult an accountant, to understand if this will pass muster with the IRS. But that, as far as an existing landowner, those are the opportunities in front of them. For investors, the other opportunity, of course, is if this program, the opportunity zone program, in many areas has created more interest in land in these or properties in these opportunity zones. What does that translate to? If you're willing to sell your property outright, there's a good chance that we'll likely see an increase over just a couple months ago. Okay. On the investment side, the opportunity is tremendous, right? First and foremost, let's not forget the purpose of the program is impact investing, right? Investing in underserved or underdeveloped areas. So now you have a true economic incentive to commit dollars to these areas. And not only is it a benefit to those areas that are being developed, you had then to have the economics incentive of holding that investment long term. The reality is transformative development takes a long time to make an impact, right? And not just make an impact by a change of community, but frankly, to generate economic activity and create the value that developers are looking for when they commit to these sorts of projects. Now, by requiring the 10-year time frame in order to reap the ultimate benefit of selling the opportunity zone investment and not paying taxes on it, well, that requires a real commitment and gives you this time period to really allow the transformation to happen, versus a developer seeing an area saying, oh, I can't do this in 2 or 3 years, so I'm going to pass.
Right. So certainly a tremendous opportunity with a lot of, as you said, a lot of nuance, a lot of questions surrounding. Any final thoughts, considerations, tips, pointers, suggestions, anything that I've, questions I may not have asked that we've missed?
I think once again, the biggest message of all is, and is the quote that I like to start my presentation with, which is that this is the most unbelievable tax break ever created. And
that says a lot.
It is. It's on multiple levels. This is actually, frankly, as far as I can remember, you've never seen anything of this potential for tax savings, right? Because it is effectively open-ended. There's no limitation or there's no like targeted amount that. Of benefit, there's a defined amount of benefit that's trying to be generated. This is wide open, subject to market forces, right? I like to point out in the presentation that the only other area in the tax code that allows you to avoid capital gains is the sale of a primary home, which is exempt from, which up to a certain amount is exempt from capital gains. So this is really a very unique and, frankly, once in our lifetime program, because we won't know until 10, 20 years down the road, how did this program really work? And by then it will take more time to reshape a new program. And by then it will be on to a new generation of investors and even political ideology and economic ideology, and perhaps our society will be trending in a different direction. You won't have this kind of program again, right? So that is the biggest point. And then I would emphasize, and then I emphasize to everyone I speak to that get to understand the program, really understand what the benefits are, and think about practical ways that you can take advantage of it, because this is perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it is a tremendous opportunity, but it's very complicated, and there's a lot of buzz around it, and people should not mistake that buzz for something that is trendy or is just a fad. Reality is, this is not just a program this is not just a tax break for the ultra wealthy or for large institutions. An individual person who's sitting on just some gains from owning some stocks or some other types of holdings in their portfolio, that they can take advantage of this as well. This can happen at all scales. Now, on the issue of scale, yes, if you are doing this on your own, you have to be prepared to commit to doing the investment and all the challenges associated with it. Or you can go to a larger group or a commingled fund where they will take care of those headaches, but then you're at the mercy of that fund. That said, in those cases, if you're not a professional or you're not ready to take on that challenge, so they say, you know, let the pros do it, let the pros handle it. But I guess the main point there is that this is not just a program for large institutional investors. This is a program that literally anyone with $1 of capital gain can take advantage of. And it's just a matter of understanding what it is and deciding really thinking of ways that you can practically execute on it. And then, of course, checking with your lawyer, your accountant, can I actually execute on this?
That's excellent advice. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, sharing
Absolutely.
Your expertise.
You.
Again, this thanks to Christopher Wang, guest today, speaking about opportunity zones. Incredible opportunity, again, not just for the super wealthy. This is really for anyone with any amount of capital gain. You can reach out to Chris if you have any questions. Chris@2kingsrealestate.com. Certainly thank him for, again, being our guest today. Chris? Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to my guest, Christopher Wang, and thank you for joining us. On our next episode, we're going to be discussing the proposed Rent Act of 2019. This is a very highly anticipated topic with a lot of uncertainty surrounding a lot of the proposed bills and changes. So we're going to dissect all of the minutia surrounding that. Please join us. Be sure to like and follow Landlords New York on social media, as well as landlordsnewyork.com. Thank you.